Treasury Star Parade. Produced under the personal direction of William A. Bacher, with David Brookman and the Treasury Orchestra, and starring Martin Gable with Ann Shepherd in a new type of radio play written by Honoria Murphy and adapted especially for the Treasury Star Parade by Milton Geiger, entitled How Far That Little Candle.
Well, you heard our introduction, a new type of radio play, we said. Oh, I know, you're probably thinking you've heard many radio plays and you've heard almost everything. But not this. Not quite this. This time you're going to hear our play and you're going to see it, too. Now, to start with, do this. Pick out a blank space on your wall for a screen. Or better still, simply close your eyes and lean back. Now, there's a wall of darkness in front of you. That will be our screen. Our voice is the light that will illuminate that screen. But we're going to project moving, living pictures on that screen for you. You ready? Now follow the camera with us. Listen and watch. Watch.
Sequence one. Lights, camera, action. Sound.
First scene. A wedding dinner by candlelight. But where are the bride and groom?
Right. Where's the bride? Yoo-hoo, bride!
Where's the bride and groom to cut the wedding cake?
Yeah, a groom! Oh, groom!
Oh, guys,
oh, there they are, there they are. Here comes the bride.
Accompanied by the groom of the pride of the Navy.
Here comes the pride of the Navy. Hey, Navy!
Hi, all of you. What's the trouble?
Hello, bride. Hello, groom.
Hello, Taffy. What's on your mind?
The cake.
The cake? The wedding cake. You've got to cut the wedding cake. It's traditional.
Oh, is that all the racket was for?
Is that all? Why, it's everything, Ensign Robert Green. It's full of significance and tradition.
Yeah, and raisins and nuts and nuts and raisins.
Besides, I've got to put a slice under my pillow tonight.
Are you serious?
It's a tradition, dear.
Messy, isn't it?
Well, they do say that if a girl puts a slice of wedding cake under her pillow when she goes to sleep, she'll
get crumbs in bed.
Oh, Tuffy.
Oh, Tuffy. Oh, Tuffy. Never mind. Fine, I'll cut the cake, kid.
You guide Nancy's hand, Bob. Wait.
What's the matter, Nancy?
I just wanted to look around at everything. I wanted to remember everything. Just as it is. Under the golden candlelight. Something beautiful and quaint and reliable in candlelight. Isn't there, Bob?
I guess so, sure.
How far that little candle throws his beam. So shines a good deed in a naughty world. You remember how we used to learn those speeches from Shakespeare in high school, Bob?
That was a long way back.
But there's a much longer way ahead of us. Isn't there, dear?
All our lives, Nancy.
Sweet, ain't it?
Oh, you.
Now, how about that cake?
Oh, yes. Where's the cake knife?
Here, Nancy. Cut.
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 Cut. Scene one, print that, the wedding of Nancy Baldwin and young Ensign Robert Green, United States Navy. Wedding scene by candlelight. Only what was wrong with that picture? It was wrong, wasn't it? It all seemed so unreal. Somehow you felt as though you wanted to touch one of those unreal people on the shoulder and say, pardon me, but how long have you people been dead? Well, we can explain everything. That wedding and all the people in it seemed unreal because it never happened. It could have happened, and it should have, because Bob and Nancy were meant for each other. But that wedding never happened and never will, because of something else that did happen first. We'll see. Follow the camera.
Sequence two.
Here's the picture. It's Nancy sitting in her bedroom window. It's a few weeks after the wedding that never happened. Nancy sits at her window overlooking the beach and the ocean, stares unwinkingly out to sea. Her lips move.
How far? How very far? How far?
This is Nancy Baldwin as she is today. All day, every day, she stares out at the ocean. Behind the wide, lovely eyes, behind the beautiful young face, there's nothing. Nothing. Whenever a ship appears on the horizon in broad daylight, then horror comes into her young face.
A ship. It's a ship. Close the shutters. Close them. Draw the curtains. Turn out the lights in here. Turn out the lights! Turn out the lights!
Her father runs into the room, takes her in his arms, soothes and comforts her.
Yes, yes, Nancy, there, there. It's all right, dear. It's all right. Yes, yes.
How far? That little candle.
There, there, dear.
That little candle throws its beam.
Now, now, dear.
How far?
This is lovely Nancy Baldwin, the bride who wasn't. What brought her to this? Why? Suppose we look at the next picture. Now let's go back a few weeks before the wedding that never happened, to a calm, lazy summer evening in the Baldwin home overlooking the sea.
Sequence three.
Nancy's bedroom. It's evening. Nancy sits at her dressing table getting ready for dinner. The room sparkles with many reflections of the many lights within the room. The ocean breeze billows back the curtains over the windows. A framed photograph of her fiancé, Ensign Robert Green, smiles at her from the dresser. She smiles back gaily.
Hiya, sailor.
Her door is ajar. Her father, passing down to dinner, stops outside.
Nancy?
Uh-huh, Dad.
Are the shades drawn on your windows?
Oh, I know.
Well, you'd better pull them down or close the shutters or something.
Oh, who's going to see? Who cares anyhow? Come on in, Dad.
All consideration of modesty aside, darling, you ought to realize that light can be seen for miles out to sea. Either you douse those lights or close the shutters.
Oh, stop.
Now, never mind that. We've all got to realize the importance of the shoreline blackout. You can't be too careful.
All right, I'll take care of it in a second, Dad.
Be sure that you do. Hurry down to dinner, darling, will you?
We're waiting.
Just as soon as I get my hair in civilized shape, Dad.
Follow the camera as it looks over Nancy's shoulder, picks up her eager, youthful expression in the mirror. Pretty, isn't she? And gay and thoughtless, isn't she? Now follow the camera as its eye glances off her shoulder, across neck and back, pauses on the glowing boudoir lamp, climbs to the ceiling and focuses on the overhead light, then across the ceiling, down the east wall to the window, where the camera pauses a moment. The window, open to the darkness without, open to the brilliance within.
Exterior shot, close up.
Now we're on the outside of the house. We see the rectangle of unguarded window glowing in the soft midsummer night, blazing.
Exterior shot, long shot.
From a distance, the windows are smaller, but a long beam of golden light pours into the night. Follow the camera. Follow the beam of light out over the sands, over the curling surf. Out, out far into the night. Out over the long swell of the open ocean where the windows are a yellow blur like starlight seen through haze. Follow the beam, dim now and diffused, but bright enough still to glisten on the slithering thing that makes two feathers in the water.
Close up.
The periscope of a submerged submarine. Follow the camera. Down the periscope, into the submarine. The Nazi commander stands at the eyepiece of the periscope. The sensitive listening device of the U-boat is heard as ship's propellers. The periscope breaks the surface like a cobra, rearing its poisonous head to strike. The commander stops his slow scanning of the sea with his periscope. His lips tighten. He draws in his breath softly.
Achtung.
Achtung. Attention. What does he see? Follow the camera. Up the periscope, across the dark swells of the night sea, toward the diffused glow from the beach. Then the glow is extinguished, comes on again, goes, comes on. A ship! Funnels and masts and serried superstructure. A ship is passing through the beam of golden light. Travel with the camera across the waves, up the steel walls of the ship, over the rail, up, up, up to where a man stands watch. Ensign Robert Green, United States Navy. All is well.
Back to Nancy's room.
Nancy's almost ready. Her father is impatiently outside again.
Nancy, we're waiting for you downstairs.
I was just going to go down, Dad.
You darkened your windows, didn't you?
What? Oh, right away this very instant.
Well, it's too late now. Just turn out all the lights and come downstairs.
In a second, count on it. Oh, dear, now who'd be calling me at dinner time? Hello? Oh, hello, Agnes. Where are you, Aggie? Oh, what a surprise. How are you?
Nancy interrupted in her good intentions by a school chum turning up again.
Interior of Nazi U-boat.
The commander's at the periscope. Out in the darkness, but dimly silhouetted against the diffused light from one window on the shore is the American destroyer.
Auf Tauchstation.
Slowly, boldly, the submarine creeps closer to her quarry. The range grows shorter.
230 Meter. Stopp bei 200 Meter. 200 Meter. Stopp. Torpedowaffe. Achtung.
Torpedowaffe. Achtung.
Steuerbord klar. Fahrt. Eins. Zwei. Feuer.
Follow the camera. Follow the torpedo. You see this boiling phosphorescence in the dark water? That is the cobra's venom projected through the ocean that is ours, at men who are ours. Behold this boiling path of destruction, this swimming mechanism daintier than a watch, deadlier than 10,000 bullets, straight as an arrow, unheard and unseen. Closer, closer to the looming body of the destroyer, outlined dimly against the gloom. Closer, closer. The destroyer is a steel wall. Higher, closer, larger, closer, higher, darker, closer, closer, closer.
Over to deck of destroyer. Ensign Bob Green on watch.
Torpedo! Torpedo at starboard quarter! Stand by for torpedo!
Nancy's room, an instant later.
Nancy sits up sharply, looks out the open window.
A ship.
Nancy! Nancy, did you turn out your lights?
A ship. Burning. A ship.
Nancy, did you hear me? Did you turn out your lights?
No. No. No!
In God's name, do it! Do it! Come down here! The ship's been torpedoed out there! She's on fire!
The beach. There's a light upon the sand, but it doesn't come from Nancy's room now. Her room is dark. The sea is a light. The sea is burning.
That's all. There goes her magazine. God be with their souls.
I'm going up to my room.
Nancy, stunned beyond tears, lying on her bed. The camera looks out over her still body, out through the window where the flames are sprawled flatly over the sea. As you watch the picture, the flames flicker and go out. Now there is total darkness. Darkness at last. Dearly, dearly purchased. There will be no survivors.
Last sequence, same as sequence two.
Nancy's bedroom. Now we know why Nancy sits at the window staring emptily out at the ocean. Why that wedding never happened. Why behind the lovely eyes, behind the beautiful young face, there's nothing. Nothing. Only when a ship appears on the horizon does she speak. And horror comes into her face and she closes the shutters and draws the curtains and sits crooning and shuddering in the darkness, saying over and over, over and over.
How far that little candle throws his beams. How far?
Over and over.
How far?
Over and over.
Over and over. Someone, somewhere, is unwittingly doing something that's costing the lives of the boys who are fighting for our freedom. And perhaps the one thing above all others is, putting off until tomorrow, buying the war bonds and stamps we should buy today. Ladies and gentlemen, winning this war is your own private job. And the harder you work at it, the sooner the job will be finished. That means buying war bonds and stamps to the last dime and nickel, over and above your bare living expenses. Not just what you can afford. Wars are lost that way, not won. We've got to buy and keep on buying enough bonds to give us planes, tanks, guns, and ships in such overwhelming masses that nothing in the world can stand against them. At least 10% of everything everyone earns will do it. So be sure to lend 10% of everything you earn to safeguard 100% of everything you have.